Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And for those that will be listening on other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, January 13, 2024. This is our review of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary, part 8 of our lesson 399. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And I will carry out the Tiny Tot theme song for our dear brother. It's not at this time, but we pray that he will be able to come back very soon. And please keep him in prayer, our dear brother Dick. Our Tiny Tot song is entitled, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And if you would like to share the hymn, you can be able to unmute your mic. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I see thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou dost bring up for my comfort more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, hear my humble cry, my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask our dear little ones by the help of their parents or elder sibling to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I labor, and the seventh day the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's not here at the Sabbath and not at the Sabbath. And please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear ones, we are going to hear the testimony of all the precious little ones in a section with Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. From Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessings, I'd like to highlight my girls once more, Haley and Emma, and their willingness to always help and learn more. Praise the Lord, as they're growing up and they're hearing more of the word of the Lord, they're asking more questions. And sometimes just when we're driving, just very randomly, they'll ask something that comes to mind. And I know that is the Spirit working upon them to bring those things back to us so that we can have discussions. Yesterday, for example, as we were driving home, I had another, child in the car with us as we were driving home. I was talking to the parent in the front, but I was also paying attention to their discussion. And in their discussion, I heard the little boy saying to the girls, "Jesus is the Son of God." And for a minute, it dawned on Haley that she may not have understood that before. And what that did was open the door for an opportunity for me to reintroduce the scripture to her and all of them, because it was a blessing for him as well, one of her classmates. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that, and they were able to understand it from that standpoint. But it was a beautiful thing to hear them, and it was merely a whisper, but it was just the Lord, like, allowing me to be able to hear that and be able to help them to understand that. So that it's a blessing to hear them having such conversations amongst each other. And I pray that the Lord continue to help them to not just in that moment, but everywhere they go, let their little light shine. And so that they can grow in grace according to his perfect will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And there is a scripture song for that particular verse. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing. Well, our dear brother, Nick, is not feeling well, and we're going to keep him in prayer. But our dear brother, Josh, will be the one to share the story time section of the review of our chapter 16 entitled In Gethsemane Part 2, and I will pass the mic to Brother Josh.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. The Bible verse for our lessons are taken from the book of Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Matthew 26, 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Mark 14:37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Mark 14:29. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Next slide. Near the gate of the garden, Jesus had left all his disciples, except Peter, James, and John. He had gone to the garden with these three. They were his most earnest followers and had been his closest companions. But he could not bear that even they should witness the suffering he was to endure. He said to them, Tarry ye here and watch with me. Matthew 26:38. He went a short distance from them and fell prostrate upon the ground. He felt that by sin he was being separated from the Father. The gulf between them appeared so broad, so black, so deep that he shuddered before it. Christ was not suffering for his own sins, but for the sins of the world. He was feeling the displeasure of God against sin as the sinner will feel it in the great judgment day. Next slide. In his agony, Christ clung to the cold ground. From his pale lips came the bitter cry, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:39. For an hour, Christ bore this terrible suffering alone. Then he came to the disciples, hoping for some word of sympathy, but no sympathy awaited him, for they were asleep. They awoke at the sound of his voice, but they hardly knew him. His face was so changed by anguish, addressing Peter, he said, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Mark 14:37. Just before he bent his footsteps to the garden, Christ said to the disciples, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. They had given him the strongest assurance that they would go with him to prison and to death. And poor, self-sufficient Peter had added, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Mark 14:27-29. Next Sabbath, we'll be reviewing part 3 of our new lesson title in Gethsemane and our time talk lesson book, The Story of Jesus, January 20th, 2024. And here is the review. Question 1. Which 3 disciples came with Jesus to the garden?
Peter, James, and John.
Right. Now, question 2. Was Christ suffering for his own sin?
For the answer is no, but for the sins of the world.
Very good. And finally, question 3. How long did Christ bear this terrible suffering alone?
The answer is 1 hour.
Amen. Continuing. It's time for our tiny tots and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. Our new topic, Mammals of the Bible. Let's use our listening one in ears, little ones. In the Mammals Review, our Bible verse is taken from the book of John, chapter 4. And lesson 1 is A Woman at a Well. And verses 1 to 8 says, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. He saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Nature, what is a mammal? And here we see pictures of a camel, and below the picture of the moving camel here, there is the diagram of the camel's body. We see the long tail, the fat-filled hump, the long eyelashes and bushy eyebrows, the large nostrils that can open and close, the thick shaggy fur that can be dark brown to almost white, the leathery patches on its knees, and the two-toed feet with thick leathery pads. The favor. On the way to Galilee, Jesus passed through Samaria. It was noon when he reached the beautiful Vale of Shechem. At the opening of this valley was Jacob's well. Weary with his journey, he sat down here to rest while his disciples went to buy food. The Jews and the Samaritans were bitter enemies, and as far as possible avoided all dealing with each other. To treat the Samaritans in case of necessity was indeed counted lawful by the rabbis, while social intercourse with them was condemned. A Jew would not borrow from a Samaritan nor receive a kindness, not even a morsel of bread or a cup of water. The disciples, in buying food, were acting in harmony with the custom of their nation, but beyond this they did not go. To ask a favor of the Samaritans, or in any way seek to benefit them, did not enter into the thought of even Christ's disciples. As Jesus sat by the well side, he was faint from hunger and thirst. The journey since morning had been long, and now the sun of noontime beat upon him. His thirst was increased by the thought of the cool, refreshing water so near yet inaccessible to him, for he had no rope, no water jar, and the well was deep. The lot of humanity was his. He waited for someone to come to draw. Okay. A woman of Samaria approached and, seeming unconscious of his presence, filled her pitcher with water. As she turned to go away, Jesus asked her for a drink, such a favor no Oriental would withhold. In the East, water was called the gift of God. To offer a drink to the thirsty traveler was held to be a duty so sacred that the Arabs of the desert would go out of their way in order to perform it. The hatred between Jews and Samaritans prevented the woman from offering kindness to Jesus, but the Savior was seeking to find the key to this heart, and with the tact born of divine love, he asked, not offered, a favor. The offer of a kindness might have been rejected, but trust awakens trust. The King of Heaven came to this outcast soul, asking a service at her hands. He who made the ocean, who controls the waters of the great deep, who opened the springs and channels of the earth, rested from his weariness of Jacob's well, and was dependent upon a stranger's kindness, bringing the gift of a drink of water. The Desire of Ages, pages 183 to 184. In the memory verse of the lesson, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Kindness. When you are kind to your pets, be reminded how Jesus came to the well to care for the spiritual needs of the woman. He was kind to her. And here in nature, what is a fruit? And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is a fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for me. Genesis 1:29. By this test we see that fruit was given for food and also for yielding seed. This last phrase refers to how fruit reproduces itself. While God designed the pulp and juice of fruit for man to eat, the seed was meant to be sown so that he would never run out of fruit to eat. A fruit is the part of a flowering plant or tree that contains the plant seeds. So it seems fruits will include such things as acorns, cucumbers, tomatoes, and wheat grains. However, we usually refer to fruit as the juicy, sweet, or tart kinds of fruits, such as apples, bananas, grapes, oranges, peaches, pears, and strawberries. To prevent confusion, horticulturists, or people who study how to cultivate plants in gardens, define a fruit as an edible seed-bearing structure that, one, consists of fleshy tissue, and two, is produced by a perennial. Remember, a perennial is a plant that lives for more than 2 years without needing to be replanted. The horticulturist definition of a fruit excludes nuts and vegetables. Nuts are firm rather than fleshy, and most vegetables are annuals. An annual is a plant that lives for only one season. God wisely supplies us with different kinds of fruits at different seasons of the year. In the warm and thirsty season, he bestows upon us luscious fruits filled with refreshing juices such as peaches, apricots, and grapes. Then as winter approaches, the fruits become more solid and mellow as apples and pears. It is also interesting to note that the closer one travels toward the hot equator, the juicier the fruits become, such as pineapple, mangoes, and guava. And the far further north one goes, the more solid fruits, such as grains, become staple crops. These are an important source of slow-burning heat for the body. God matches the talents or nutritional qualities of the fruits with the needs of the people who live where they grow. Each kind of fruit has its own unselfish ministry to mankind's needs. And just as surely as he wisely planned where the different kinds of fruits would be most serviceable, so also he has a special place on earth where you are to use your unique talents in unselfish ministry to others. The individual flavors of different kinds of fruit satisfy our tastes at different times. The peculiar flavors of each are like a language our body understands. It leads to select certain ones that are suitable to the seeds of our bodies under different conditions. That the senses have been perverted by eating improperly, it is marvelous to see how the taste for certain food elements will vary from time to time to suit the needs of the body. Other definitions of fruit include that which is produced, Ephesians 5:22-23, offspring as the fruit of the womb, effect or consequence, Isaiah 3:10, and advantage or profit, Romans 6:21. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom concerning the spiritual means of the various fruits. God's word shows that they have symbolic value. Take the pomegranate, for example. The word means grained apple. The pomegranate is all seed and all sweetness. Each pearly seed is surrounded by a bed of luscious crimson pulp. The seeds of the pomegranate look like jewels. Christian fruit should be like the pomegranate, not all sweetness without seed, nor all seed without sweetness. There should be sweetness of character combined with the seed of the word, fruit of the holiness, not Pharisaic righteousness, but tender loving Christ-like spirituality. Pomegranates are packed with seed, the way God's word is packed with promises. Its blood and red juices suggest the blood of Jesus. Pomegranates were embroidered on the border of the high priest's garments along with bells, Exodus 39:24. This teaches that we should give forth the sound as well as the fruit of holiness. Remember this, everyone. What is a mammal? Well, they have these seven parts. It's one, they milk to feed their young. Like how this lioness here is nursing her cubs. They have body hair, like the snow leopard, who has warm fur. They're all warm-blooded. Warm-blooded keeps mammals active even during cold weather. Ear bones, or better hearing, three middle ear bones. A backbone. Backbone helps mammals move. The six protect young, like how this kangaroo here protects X for Joey. And finally, special teeth, like this beaver here. Her beaver's sharp front teeth never stop growing. Continue our reference reading for the mammal topic. Mammal topic of our Tiny Tots lesson. Review chapter 19 at Jacob's Well. On the way to Galilee, Jesus passed through Samaria. It was noon when he preached the beautiful Vale of Shechem. At the opening of this valley was Jacob's Well. Weary with his journey, he sat down here to rest while Jesus with his disciples went to buy food. Desire of Ages, page 183, paragraph 1. The Jews and the Samaritans were bitter enemies and as far as possible avoid all dealing with each other. To trade with the Samaritans in case of necessity was indeed counted lawful by the rabbis, but all social intercourse with them was condemned. A Jew would not borrow from a Samaritan nor receive a kindness, not even a morsel of bread or a cup of water. The disciples, in buying food, were acting in harmony with the custom of their nation, but beyond this, they did not go. To ask a favor of the Samaritans or in any way seek to benefit them did not enter into the thought of even Christ's disciples. Desire of Ages, page 483, paragraph 2. As Jesus sat by the well side, he was faint from hunger and thirst. The journey since morning had been long, and now the sun of noontide beat upon him. His thirst was increased by the thought of a cool, refreshing water so near, yet inaccessible to him. For he had no rope nor water jar, and the well was deep. The wild humanity was his, and he waited for someone to come to draw. Desire of Ages, page 183, paragraph 3. A woman of Samaria approached, and seeming unconscious of his presence, filled her pitcher with water. As she turned to go away, Jesus asked her for a drink. Such a favor an Oriental would withhold. In the East, water was called the gift of God. To offer a drink to the thirsty traveler was held to be a duty so sacred that the Arabs of the desert would go out of their way in order to perform it. The hatred between Jews and Samaritans prevented the woman from offering a kindness to Jesus, but the Savior was seeking to find the key to this heart, and with the tact of born of divine love, he asked and not offered a favor. The offer of a kindness might have been rejected, but trust awakens trust. The King of Heaven came to this outcast soul, asking a service at her hands. He who made the ocean, who controls the waters of the great deep, opened springs and channels of the earth, rested from his weariness at Jacob's well, and was dependent upon a stranger kindness, from the gift of a drink of water. The Desire Pages, page 183, paragraph 4. The woman saw that Jesus was a Jew. In her surprise, she forgot to grant his request, but tried to learn the reason for it. "How is it," she said, "that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" Jesus, Desire Pages, page 184, paragraph 1. Jesus answered, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You wonder that I should ask of you even so small a favor as a draught of water from the well at our feet. Had you asked of me, I would have given you to drink of the water of everlasting life." Desire of Ages, page 184, paragraph 2. The woman had not comprehended the words of Christ, but she felt their solemn import. Her light, bantering manner began to change. Supposing that Jesus spoke of the well before them, she said,
"Meeting the earth at midday, when suddenly it seemed to be blotted out, complete darkness, like a funeral pall, enveloped the cross. There was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. There was no eclipse or other natural cause for the darkness, which was as deep as midnight without moon or stars. It was a miraculous testimony given by God that the faith of the after generation might be confirmed."
Continuing the reading, Haley.
Continuing, the Desire of Ages, page 753, continuing, in that thick darkness, God's presence was hidden. He made darkness his pavilion,
and conceals
his glory from human eyes. God and his holy angels were beside the cross. The Father was with his Son, yet his presence was not revealed. Next slide, please. Continuing, had his glory flashed forth from the cloud, every human beholder would have been
destroyed,
and in that dreadful hour, Christ was not to be comforted with the Father's presence. He trod the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with him. the desire of ages, page 753, verse 4.
Paragraph 4.
Paragraph 4.
Amen. Continuing the reading. Go ahead.
In the
thick
darkness, God
veiled
the light,
last human
agony of his son.
Good job.
All of who had seen Christ in his
suffering
had been
convicted
of his
divinity.
That face
once
beheld by
humanity
his was
never
forgotten as the face for
You said it first.
Came
expressed
his
guilt
as a
murderer. Next slide, please.
So the face of Christ revealed innocence, serenity, benevolence, the image of God. But his accusers would have given heed to the signet of heaven. Through long hours of agony, Christ had been gazed upon by the jeering multitude. Now he was mercifully hidden by the mantle of God. Desire of Ages, page 754, paragraph 1.
Continuing, the silence of the grave seemed to have fallen upon Calvary. A nameless terror held the throng that was gathered about the cross. The cursing and reviling ceased in the midst of the half-uttered sentences. Men, women, and children fell prostrate upon the earth. Vivid lightnings occasionally flashed forth from the cloud and revealed the cross and the crucified Redeemer. Next slide, please. Continuing, priests, rulers, scribes, executioners, and the mob all thought that their time of retribution had come. After a while, some whispered that Jesus would now come down from the cross. Some attempted to grope their way back to the city, beating their breasts and wailing in fear. The Desire of Ages, page 754, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 754. At the ninth hour, the darkness lifted from the people, but still enveloped the Savior. It was a symbol of the agony and horror that weighed upon his heart. No eye could pierce the gloom that surrounded the cross. And none could penetrate the deeper gloom that enshrouded the suffering soul of Christ. The angry lightning seemed to be hurled at him as he hung upon the cross. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the outer gloom settled about the Savior, many voices exclaimed, The vengeance of heaven is upon him. The bolts of God's wrath are hurled at him. Because he claimed to be the Son of God, many who believed on him heard his despairing cry. Hope left them. If God had forsaken Jesus, what could his followers trust? The Desire of Ages, page 754, paragraph 3.
Listen, everyone. Desire of Ages, page 754. When the darkness was lifted from the oppressed spirit of Christ, he revealed to us sense of a physical suffering and said, I thirst. Once of the Roman soldier touched with pity as he looked as his parched lip, took a sponge and a staff of hyssop and dip it in a vessel of vinegar and offer it to Jesus. But the priest mocked at his God agony when the darkness covered the earth. Next slide, please. Continuing the reading. Why they had been lifted with fear as the terror abated, the dread returned that Jesus would yet escape them. His word, hello, hello, lama sabatani. They had misinterpreted with bitter contempt and scorn. They said, this man is calling for Elias. The Lord's opportunity to relieve his suffering, they refuse and let be. Refuse. They say, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. Have mercy. Isaiah of Ages 754, paragraph 4.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So let us consider this verse for a review, dear one, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James, is a memory verse song. But sanctify, O Lord God, your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what we have learned and where we have grown, we are going to now share the 6 questions that we hold in part one, dear ones, to be able to be solved in this part two. So for those that are not able to see the screen, I'm going to read it out. And if you're moved to share your answer with the dear little ones, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what do you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it or use your mic, who would like to take number 1, dear ones?
Number 1, who's the main character or characters? From the section, we see that Jesus is the main character. We see the scribes mentioned here, the priests, the executioners, and the Roman guard for this particular section.
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for a section of our story, the thick darkness enveloping the cross.
Number 3, where did the story take place? We know that the section of the story is taking place in Golgotha, which we also know as Calvary.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? Angels witnessing the Savior's despair and agony. My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? The pain in Jesus' heart was mainly due to the sins of the world. Although the darkness seemed like it was falling down on him, it was supposed to be symbolizing in all the turmoil he's feeling for all the bad things his people, if not the entire people around the globe, have done. It was more than the present pain he was having on the cross on that day.
How could you relate to the story? Even though that it was a very dreadful hour, it is so comforting to know that the eyes of his Father and all the angelic hosts, as they behold to see the Lord suffering, they were still there. They were silent. They were all beholding. And it's a comfort for us as well. When the darkest hour in our life will come about, let us remember that the eyes of the Almighty is still upon us. And as we saw there, Savior, agony, and as dark as it is, the Lord's eyes is still upon us, and we may remember these hours, because soon in the future or in any time in our life when it seems to be so dark and so thick, if we remember the time that our Savior was on the cross, we can, by faith, also hold on to the same promise. And who would like to take number 61?
Amen. And just to add a little bit on to our dear sister's insight there. When Christ was going through his greatest suffering, the Father's presence was there. So God hadn't left him looking from above, you know, up in heaven down. He was right there next to Christ. But Christ couldn't detect that his Father's presence was there. So in our darkest hour, it may appear that we're forsaken of God because we can't sense his presence, but he is still there. Christ says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, world without end. So even though we may not be able to detect that the Savior's presence is with us, we know by faith, claiming his promises, that he is there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And, who would like to do number 61?
One thing that I have learned from this lesson is Christ was faced with severe agony, and yet he held on to God. In our darkest times, not just when things are going great, but in our darkest times, when everything seems to be falling apart, we can remember from this story that God is there for us. And as long as we hold on to him, he is there for us, and he can definitely help us to make it through whatever it is that we're going through.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And there is another observation that I did saw.
even though that he was going through such a horrible and dreadful death, he was thinking about all of us, not only the land that he had came to be able to be allied in, but it went as far as today. And while he was on the cross, he was thinking about us. I pray that in the hour of our darkest time, that we can lift our situation by helping others, and maybe it will not make that dark hour so severe. And that's what I have learned and not serving this 8-part while Jesus was agonizing. Well, dear ones, welcome one more. And we have thoughts and poems and also special music. And our thought is taken from a spirit prophecy book. It's Manuscript Releases, Volume 16, pages 129, paragraph 4 to 131, paragraph 2, entitled Diary Fragment, July to October 1907. It's also, there is a title on a devotional book, and I wanted to be able to share it. It's called Never Failing Source of Strength. Our opening scripture was taken also from that devotional, coming from Proverbs 18:10, King James Version, and it reads, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved." And who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
I have been praying most earnestly for wisdom to place in print the very things that, should I not live, will be a help and strength to those who will be pleased to use them. My heart is filled with thanksgiving and praise. Heaven is full of richest blessings to bestow upon all who need these precious blessings, if they ask the Lord with heart and soul and have a strong desire to receive, to impart.
That's a thought, my holy family. Such a pleasure to be with all my brothers and sisters, and also all of the little ones. God bless us all. The Lord Jesus has passed through every temptation that human beings have had. We read that he knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. For he hath been in all points tempted like as we are. Tempted in his human nature that he might know how to score those who shall be tempted. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrew, chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Manuscript Release, 129, paragraph 4.
I am so thankful that this long siege of temptation, sadness, and grief is past. I can see my Redeemer, in whom I have fresh encouragement to trust as a never-failing source of strength. I take up my service that with renewed courage, yet not knowing which shall prosper, this or that. Every soul must walk by faith. Our service is a continual warfare against the satanic science among coming in through deceptive guise to take us unawares. Therefore, angels are on guard to protect all who are watching and believing and walking and working. 16th manuscript releases, page 130, paragraph 1.
There are continuous battles to fight, and we are not safe a moment unless we place ourselves under guardianship of one who gave his own precious life to make it possible for everyone who will believe in him as the Son of God, while meeting the strain of Satan's varied science, to escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust.
He is fully able, in response to our faith, to unite our human nature with his divine nature. We are, while trusting and partaking of divine nature and strengthening our own efforts, proclaiming Christ's mission on earth to be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. We are bound to speak of the dangers of the warfare with invisible foes and to keep the armor on. We war not merely against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. This means that men of influence will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Therefore, we need to keep under the constant guardianship of holy angels. May 16, manuscript releases, page 130, paragraph 2.
To follow Christ is not freedom from conflict. It is not child's play. It is not spiritual idleness. All the enjoyment in Christ's service means sacred obligation in meeting of stern conflicts. To follow Christ means stern battle, active labor, warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our enjoyment is the victories gained for Christ in earnest, hard warfare. Think of this. Manuscript Release 16, page 131, paragraph 1.
We are laborers together with God. Christ engaged in the great work for which he lived and died. We are to be instant in season, out of season. And why? For ye are bought with a price, and have enlisted under the banner of Prince Emmanuel. We are enlisted for labor, not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. 16 Manuscript Releases, page 131, paragraph 2. Further reflection, am I dressed for today's battles? Have I put on the whole armor of God that I might be able to stand? Jesus' name above all name, page 381, paragraph 5, December 29th.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have the poem entitled The Brother's Love. This is part one because there's a part two. And we are going to begin with part one today. From the Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 1, page 11. From the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Number one. The streams that flows through the walnut wood has been swelled by the summer's rain. Were useless to look for the crossing stones. The look will be in vain.
With puzzled face and with doubtful look, fair he that stands on the shore. Why surely the water was never so deep, was never so sweet before.
Say, how shall I get to the other side? Fred, Harry, can you tell? Have never a fear, sweet sis, cries Fred. We'll carry you over well.
Number 4, we will fasten our hands beneath you, so your arms our necks shall clasp. Like a queen, we will bear you above the stream, held close in our loving grasp.
See, Harry, the water's up to our knees. Step carefully, firmly stand. But Edith, dear, have never fear. You're safe as you were. You're safe as you were on the land.
This is, we are over. Jump off on the bank and give me my cap, if you please. We will dry our feet here as we rest on the grass in the shade of the walnut trees.
We are going to continue with part 2, next review by God's grace. We are going to share the special song. It's a hymn. And it's an encouragement as well that what Jesus had went through, we also will, and what it is that we must do. Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. I must go and stand my trials. I have to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else could stand it for me. I have to stand it by myself. Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. And the combination comes from hymn 423. We must walk this lonesome valley. We have to walk it by ourselves. Oh, nobody else can walk it for us. We have to walk keep by ourselves. You must go and stand your trials. You have to stand it by yourself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for you. You have to stand dead by yourself. We are going to leave the testimony by God's grace later in the ending of our service because we are over. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 9 of our lesson entitled Calvary in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to be able to close with prayer, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. And I will try to close, if I may. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father Jesus, for a humble heart to know that you have made a way for us, not only by example, but now we ask that you will give us and grant us power from on high, that we may have the same example that you have left us, Father. We may not know what is ahead, but we are so grateful that we do know, and you know from the end to the beginning. We also would like to lift our dear brother Dick, that you may bring healing in your wings, and may you please allow the heavenly angels to encamp about him, even among any one of us that are here that might be ill or going through any circumstances, Father. We are so grateful, not only for the lesson, but for the promises that you have given us. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming, Father Jesus. Forgive us for our unchristless spirit. We plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the help that you have given and also all the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. May you continue with us in the other services, Father Jesus, and as we get out of this meeting, not only by hearing, Father, but give us the power that we can put it into practical use is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to have lesson 400. Of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary Part 9, and that will be January 20th, 2024. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.